views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you remember who you really are, awaken to what you already know, and trust that you are absolutely perfect for the role of being you. My goal is to help you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. Today, I'm doing something a little goofy. Recently, I turned the big 5-0, and very soon after this, I started having things come up in my life that started with the letter O. Now, I pay attention to things in the universe that come at me like that, and because of my rather interesting thought process, I thought, I should do a podcast and share 5 important things that everyone would benefit by knowing that start with the letter O. I know, it sounds kind of crazy, but it fits for me, and in honor of my big 5-0, I just couldn't let it go without doing something about it. So here they are. The first of my O's goes to oxytocin, which I've mentioned to you before a few times, and it absolutely had to be on this list. Oxytocin is a hormone, if you're not aware, that many people refer to as the bonding hormone. Some call it the love hormone, and it certainly fits into the category of feel-good hormones. It's important to the body in a lot of ways, including being very instrumental in childbirth and breastfeeding, but it goes far beyond that as well. Now, apparently, women's bodies have far more oxytocin receptors than men, which suggests we need even more of it flowing through our body. So how do we do that? Well, there are quite a few ways. The first one is the big O itself. Orgasm. This is one way to get large amounts of oxytocin flooding the body, so do your best to be releasing it that way on a regular basis. However, it can also be released through all things pleasure, even by breathing a certain way. We've talked about this one before, but when you breathe in and then exhale, making a pleasure sound like, and when you really do that, really let it go, you'll find that it stimulates what's called the vagus nerve, which is branches down into the belly area there. And that's where the oxytocin gets flowing. If you do that kind of breathing 3 times in a row, I guarantee if you're doing it right, if you're getting things vibrating, you will feel the oxytocin start to flow through your body. You'll feel more awake. You'll feel that warm, fuzzy feeling. It's that joie de vivre where you just feel like, I'm so happy to be alive. That's oxytocin. So give it a try. Come on, be brave. Find a closet somewhere and go do it. Oh, that sounds really weird. So, you know, you can do it anywhere. Doesn't matter to me. You can also get it flowing via loving caress, like someone running their fingers through your hair, unless, of course, you just did your hair and then it's irritating, but somebody rubbing your back or scratching your back, even caressing a person's hand can get oxytocin flowing. Your thoughts, if they're loving and compassionate, can also make this hormone flow. You know, where you stand over your child's crib or bed or, you know, and look at them because they're sleeping so soundly and they're such little angels, and you're suddenly gripped with that feeling of, oh, I love you so much. That is oxytocin. So if you aren't getting this hormone flowing every day, You're missing out, especially when it feels so good. It has such huge health benefits, and it's easy to do. If you really still don't know how to do this, pick up one of my freebies off my site. 5 Secrets of Being a Vibrant Mom is right there in the banner, or in the right-hand margin is Stress Less, Live More, and I talk about getting oxytocin flowing in both of those. The second O gem that I want to share is essential oils, especially oil of oregano. I love having essential oils around me all the time. In fact, I have a diffuser here in my room and I use it to make the room more relaxing, sometimes invigorating, sometimes healing, and sometimes just to freshen the air. You know, when I've taken my dog for a walk and the room kind of smells like wet dog, I'll come in and put on my diffuser, put in some Citrus Bliss or Motivate, or I have another blend I'm using right now called Zen Jest that has a kind of fennel smell to it, and it just freshens the air up. And so instead of walking in and going, ooh, I walk in and go, oh, that's nice. Kind of like you do when you're walking past a freshly flowering lilac tree or honeysuckle bush or whatever flower or smell you really like, and you just can't help but stop and take it in. That's what a diffuser could do. Now, you want to make sure that you have good quality essential oils. That's the only thing. Therapeutic grade is preferable. And there are a lot of oils out there that will say they're organic or they say they're pure. And they're saying that so that, because they can, they're allowed to say that about them. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things in them that can cause a problem. So be very careful if you're going to be diffusing it or using it for healing process, because essential oils are small enough to cross into your body. That's why they help us to heal. So I just want to put that little caveat on there so that you for sure are paying attention if you're going to be using them for healing. doTERRA is my favorite because they care about their employees, they care about the environment, they care about people all over the world, and they really put their money where their mouth is. Plus, they really, really, really care about the quality of their oils, and they're all therapeutic so that you can use them quite safely. So that's doTERRA, D-O-T-E-R-R-A, if you're looking for an oil and, you know, you need some guidance. So other ways that I use them, I also like to carry a tissue in my pocket when I'm about to do something that requires a sharp or confident brain, like an interview or I'm going in to do a presentation. Then I have this Kleenex and I put a couple dabs of my favorite brain power oil on it, which is typically from the peppermint family. But if I was looking to help myself relax, it might be a lavender. If I was just looking to feel comfort, I might have cinnamon. And I just put a couple dabs of whatever I want and put it in my pocket. And then I pull it out and I sniff it just before going in, or even sometimes during, because you can take a Kleenex out and kind of look like you're dabbing your nose. And meanwhile, you're taking a nice deep breath in, and it's helping your brain to sharpen up. Now, the reason I zeroed in on oil of oregano, it was one of my O's that presented to me. It is a wonderful oil in a lot of ways, especially for this time of year when flu viruses and stuff are starting to come up and our kids are back in schools or universities or daycares or whatever. And so germs are all around us, and oil of oregano is a really great way to combat them. Now, there are both oil of oregano, which is a tincture made in an alcohol base, and there's also the essential oil of oregano, which I like to use instead because I'm not crazy about the alcohol in the other one. But once again, you can just breathe this off of a tissue. You can have it around, just open the bottle and sniff right from the bottle. If you carry it on a tissue, I should warn you that people around you might start saying things like, does someone like have Caesar salad at lunch or something? Because, you know, they smell the oregano and that's what it makes most people think of. So this can also be a problem when you're diffusing it in the air. To me, as much as I like the smell of oregano, I do not need to smell it all the time. So what I like to do with it is I put a few drops into a carrier oil, which is any kind of light oil that you can use to massage your body. So I like fractionated coconut oil. I will just use straight coconut oil as well. You can use olive oil. I like sweet almond oil, whatever kind of oil you like for massaging. And then you massage it onto the bottom of your feet in the morning or before you go to bed. And this can help you if you are worried about viruses around and everybody getting sick. If you don't want to get the smell on your hands, you can wear those light little plastic gloves or even just use a piece of cellophane or something to protect your hands from it. Oil of oregano can also be taken internally, but I tend to reserve that for when I have a sore throat or something. It's not something I enjoy taking, although some people take it often. But when I feel a sore throat coming on, I just put a couple drops of oil of oregano. I'm using the essential oil, doTERRA's, so I know it's pure. And I put it into water, and then I gargle with it and spit it out. It burns, but it really feels good. It's quite soothing to the throat. And oftentimes, that's all it takes to get whatever it is to move on out. So if I'm feeling out of sorts, then I will use the oil of oregano. Now, what made this oil come sharply into focus in the last few weeks for me was when the bottom of my foot started to get sensitive and I ended up with a plantar's wart. Now, this isn't totally new to me, but I haven't had one in a very long time. And I guess with all the camping and perhaps using showers at campgrounds and such, even though I did wear my sandals, I'd sometimes take them off and wash them in the shower, which isn't too smart in hindsight. However, I'm not sure why I got it, but I had this plantar's wart come up and all of a sudden my foot was getting sore and sore. And so it was very hard to walk on it and it was becoming quite a problem. Although I really like my doctor, he's never my first line of defense when it comes to healing something like this, because traditional medicine has been taught to fix the symptom as if that's what the problem is. And in this case, I wanted to do something that wouldn't just get rid of the wart, but would also support my immune system. And blasting it with nitrogen or giving me an over-the-counter medication didn't seem like the answer for that. So I pulled out my oregano essential oil. I put a few drops into my fractionated coconut oil, just in a little shot glass. And then I brought it to over beside my desk, put a lid on it because I didn't want to smell Caesar salad all day. And I set some Q-tips there. And then whenever I thought of it, I just pulled off my sock, took a Q-tip, dabbed it into the oil and put it on the plantar's wart. But you know, by the next morning, I could already feel a huge improvement. And 2 days later, it was completely gone. And the best part is that my immune system has been strengthened by the oil rather than weakened by over-the-counter meds or nitrogen. So it was a win-win for me. And now I don't have to have the Caesar salad right here by my desk anymore. But I couldn't smell it anyway once I put a lid on it. So no biggie. The third O I want to talk about is osteopathy. Now, osteopathy is not very well known where I live, although I understand that it's much more common in more populated areas. So Toronto, Vancouver, in the United States, you might be more familiar with osteopaths than I am here. So for me, I actually lucked into finding an osteopath when my son was referred from his naturopath to an osteopath who had a closed practice, meaning she wasn't taking any new patients, but she was able to fit in my son. And I ended up getting to work with her husband, who is a student of osteopathy. He's just about to graduate, so he's only a student for another 2 weeks. But by the time this airs, he won't be a student anymore. However, I got to see him, and I have to say that I absolutely love osteopathy and how it works. So what is it? Well, it's actually really hard for me to describe. If you've ever had cranial sacral work done, then you'll have a better chance of understanding how it works, because cranial sacral and osteopathy go hand in hand. I'm not sure if cranial sacral is a piece of osteopathy or what. It seems to me like osteopathy focuses on the whole body, but it's the same idea of energy movement. If you're not familiar with craniosacral, I'm really not sure how to explain it to you in a way that makes sense. except to say that they release energy blocks, they realign body parts, they awaken sluggish organs, and they get everything in the body working together. It's non-invasive, it feels heavenly, it's covered by many insurance plans, and it's well worth looking into. So I'm a huge fan of osteopaths and cranial sacral work. I believe it will be beneficial for every baby to be checked and treated after their journey down the birth canal as a way to prevent unnecessary issues further down the road. And even if they were born via a C-section, they were still living in an itty-bitty living space for quite a while, so it's probably a good idea for them to see an osteopath in either case. In line with that, my son's osteopath figures that his brain and body have barely been talking most of his life. Now, it took 16 years for it to surface as a real problem, and when it did, traditional medicine didn't have a clue what to do with it. The fourth O I want to share is oolong tea, which is relatively new to me, even though I've been a green tea enthusiast for many years, and in fact, I've had oolong teas stuck in the back of my cupboard all along. You've likely heard that there are many health benefits to drinking green tea, and there are. However, apparently it's a little bit harsh for some people's stomachs. So a couple months ago, I was reading a newly released book called The DNA Restart by Dr. Sharon Malone, and one of his chapters was on the many health benefits of oolong tea. What is oolong? It's a lightly roasted and partially fermented tea, so it sits in the middle of the scale between green tea and black tea. It has all the health benefits of green, but because of the roasting and fermenting part, it also has the ability to latch onto extra fat in your food. So fat that your body wouldn't be using at the moment and so was set to be stored. He also says that drinking oolong between meals can help your body pull off and eliminate fat that is already stored on your body. Now this sounded really good to me, because I love tea and I don't love fat around my middle or on the back of my thighs. So I dug some out from the back of my cupboard and I started drinking it instead of the green. Now, I like variety, so I ordered a few different kinds of loose oolong from Amazon and from David's Tea. And I found that there was a few different flavors that they were all very good. I quite enjoy them all. But as with anything, not all teas are created equal, so you do want to aim for higher quality if you're going to try this, because a nice loose, they'll be rolled up leaves that when you add water to them, they open up and they release their flavor. They're going to be better for you. Now, unfortunately, I have to add a caveat to this one. Just the other day, which means about a month ago, because in the world of podcasting, you're always recording ahead of time, about a month ahead, I listened to a very intelligent and well-known scientist, Mike Adams, who was a guest on the thyroid summit that Dr. Amy Myers was hosting. Now, he does a lot of studies on the things that seep into our food unbeknownst to us, and then he's very vocal about what he finds. And he mentioned that all tea, green, oolong, and black, has a propensity for leaching fluoride out of the soil. And therefore, it shouldn't be ingested more than once a day, and not even that much if you're suffering from any symptoms of thyroid imbalance, because fluoride and iodine, which is what the thyroid needs, are very similar in structure, and so it can block the iodine from doing what it needs to do. Now, I'm not sure I know anyone who wouldn't at least wonder about their thyroid after reading the list of imbalanced symptoms and listening to Dr. Amy for even a few minutes. So before you go and order a whole bunch of oolong, like I did, maybe read Dr. Amy Myers' The Thyroid Connection, or ask your guides, or use some other way to determine if it's a good idea for you before just jumping in blindly. The final O of my five O's is actually another hormone, one that I just learned about. It's called orexin, O-R-E-X-I-N, and it is a hormone that makes you feel energized. Yep, you heard right. Orexin is the hormone that makes you feel like jumping off the couch and going outside to play, or to run the laundry upstairs, or even to get up and bake some muffins or start making supper. I can't tell you too much about orexin as I'm just learning about it myself, but I can say that this is a hormone worth knowing about and enhancing when possible. So here's a few tips that I've learned so far in my course that I'm taking right now with Ari Witten. The course is called The Energy Blueprint. Orexin is the hormone that makes you feel awake, energetic, and speeds up your metabolism. It is what makes you want to get off the couch and do something, even if it's not to exercise, but just to move around. They call that NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis or genesis. And it's all the movements we do when we're not exercising, but we are moving. Good quality protein is critical to keep your orexin levels up. So protein, very important for making you feel energized. Fructose. Now I'm talking real fructose in actual complete fruit here. So not something like juice or something that's been removed from the fruit. I'm talking about it in complete form. Increases orexin. When you couple that food with a walk after eating, the walk keeps your glucose levels down and your energy levels up by getting the orexin flowing. Fun exercise, playing with your kids, or in my case, it's my grandpuppy who I play with, or doing things that you love, like hiking for me. Ari Witten, my instructor, says rock climbing is his thing. Or just even doing novel things. So if I went out for a bike ride, I haven't ridden my bike this year at all. So that would be kind of novel. Those kinds of things increase your orexin levels. Whereas just exercising, not having fun when you're exercising, or doing the same thing over and over so there's no novelty to it, does not. It gives you the benefits of exercise. It might give you a cardio workout, but it is not getting your orexin flowing. And orexin is what makes you feel energized. So I suspect that there's a lot more to learn about orexin. And in fact, I know I'm forgetting to share some of the tidbits I've already learned with you, but I think that this is a good start. If this is something that interests you, I suggest you put it out to the universe that you would like to learn more. And in the meantime, pay attention to how much of your movement involves fun, and see if you can adjust things to make them bring you the pleasure you need to have great energy. I'm reminded of when I was working for the school division, and I had been working there over a year, and I came into the office one day, and I had been, you know, busy racing up and down hallways. I was late for something. The room I was supposed to have wasn't available. I had people there. So I was feeling the stress of it, and I walked into the office, and I said something to the receptionist. And the principal was standing off beside her, and she looked up at me and she said, "Oh, it's happened." So I looked at her and, trying not to be snappy, went, "What?" She said, "You were just so in love with life when you started here, and I'm really quite surprised at how long it lasted, but I wondered if at some point the stress, the pressures would start to get to you, and you would start to lose that love of life." Well, that woke me up. I stopped, full stop, and stood there and thought, "You're right. What happened?" And I knew what happened. I had let the stress get to me. I was allowing myself to focus on the things that were going wrong. I was feeling the pressure, the hurry, hurry, hurry. And I realized, oh my gosh, I love this job. I love my life. But if I don't take the time to stop and love it all, really enjoy it, really pick up those pieces, find the fun in it, look for the things that bring me pleasure, then I'm not going to like this life that I say that I love. So this was a real eye-opener for me and reminded me, I still carry that with me, reminded me always to stop and think, what do I need to do to change right now so that I'm loving what I'm doing? So that's it. That's my big 5-0. There are plenty of other great O words out there, but these are the 5 that presented themselves for me to share at this significant point in my life journey. I hope you found at least one or two of them are also of interest to you. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with others, rave about it on social media, and give it a positive review. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.